denne podcasten møter du dansekunstnere og koreografene bak forestillingene som vises på Dansens Hus I Oslo. Her kan du høre om det som ligger bak forestillingene, kunstnerisk ambisjon og om hva som foregår innenfor dansekunsten I samtiden. Dette første av tre episoder om dansefestivalen Urban Moves Oslo med kuratorene Hian Brown og Stu Left Sound Crew.
Hello and welcome to Dansens Hus podcast. We are here together with the people behind Urban Moves Oslo Festival and I am also joined by Zeze Kolstad, who works here at Dansens Hus with Outreach. She's going to co-host this episode. So hello Zeze, thank you for being here.
Hello and thank you.
And hello Stu and Hing.
Hello.
So nice of you to come. We are very much looking forward to this big, great festival that is going to end the dance season here at the house later this year, in June. I always start the podcast by asking a simple question. Who are you?
Ooh. That's a big question.
It
which is.
Which
is nice.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to grab this one and I would say we're energy captured in human packaging. And we're students of life. And well, through this lens is how we experience existence. But this is probably a little bit broad.
And very beautiful.
But we're one, right?
Yeah.
Like we need to remember that as well. Mm. But we are also uniquely different. Mm. And we have to celebrate that as well.
Mm. Great. And you are both dancers, right?
Dancers.
Dancers.
Yeah, dancer.
How did you get into dance?
Oof. I started 97. Mm-hmm. And I just saw a showcase of dancers in Paris. And I just was like, I need to dance. I need to do this thing. Mm. So I actually went there and asked them where can I practice. Back then it was in the subway, so I got to went there and I learned from there firsthand.
Great.
For me, so when you ask about dancing, I guess, first of all, I've been moving a lot. I always had a lot of energy. Mm-hmm. Some may say too much. But capturing like movements into dance as forms, not that I knew what I was doing. I would have to say that MTV, like that as an, inspiration or what I had access to, that was like the first main source of inspiration. And, you know, just standing in front of the TV and just like, I guess mimicking, but not very being like not very conscious about it. You just like react to what you see. And later on, when I was about 11 years old, I fell in love with Michael Jackson, Janet Jackson music, and they're great dancers. So it was like a natural extension to do whatever they did. And then I would say like the first classes, like going to a studio, then it was around the same time. And so everything was just dancing and not categorized. I loved everything. I had no clue that my teacher was like telling us, oh, just spin around like three. Try and see if you can do four without falling. Just place your feet here, place your arms there, like spot here and there. So and even with the music is there were no counts. So it was like, oh, do you hear this sound? Do you hear that it stretches from here? The sound starts from here and ends there. And in between it travels somewhere. It's not like a straight line always, right? So in that sense I would say I learned just as much about musicality and appreciating music and different forms of music. And I have to give credit back to, I would say, my main dance teacher, who is Kurt Dideren from my hometown, like Frederikshavn in Denmark, in the northern part of Denmark, a small town. And he was a part of the Boney M, like the band. So like his background and everything that was like culminated in him and shared in a little small town is, in hindsight, now I see like what I got from that time. So I would not have been here if he didn't share. And I will have to say also that he let me dance even though I couldn't afford to dance. Or there was a boundary to ask my parents for money to go and dance of cultural reasons. But he let me dance anyways. So, yeah. I think it's very important to give props like that.
Definitely.
We want to hear about you, Stu. So what's your, who are you?
I want to know more.
Who am I?
A little bit
so
more.
I'm a kid from the neighborhood or the ghetto in Paris, outside of Paris, from two parents from Martinique. They moved from Martinique to France when they were younger. So I grew up like, you know, in the Caribbean culture. And like we had like what we call here a youth house in my city. And but you had to pay, so I couldn't afford also to go there. But like I say, like I met this group of dancers. Actually, one of them, we invited them 2 years ago or 3 years ago, the last session of Urban Move, Salah. And he was dancing there, and I remember I was 14 and I just went there and I was like, please guys, can you tell me where I can learn this move? I already have a plan in my head. I was like, I want to dance. So basically it's this, like, and then I went to the youth house and they actually, I was just sitting on the side because I couldn't afford it. And then one of them, the teacher called Mehdi Slimani, looked at me and was like, I know where you're from. Don't worry. Just jump in the class and we talk about details later. And it happens that I never had to pay because I was so hungry for learning that they just teach me for free, like basically. But yeah, like Caribbean rooted kids from the ghetto in Paris and now here in Oslo into 2022. So it's a long way.
So can you two tell us a little bit about Urban Moves, Oslo, and what are your roles in that festival?
Yeah, so the roles, officially, we're giving the titles as curators. So for us, that means that we are giving the trust and the opportunity to take care of a certain field. And when they choose us, it's a natural choice to take care of hip-hop culture. Not just the dance or the music, but the culture as a like holistic thing. And of course, that stretches to other club, street, park, studio dances. Like it depends on where it's done, right? But you kind of need to look back at the people who's doing it. And with the people, well, everything that they carry with them. And there's a common thing that goes with all of the people, really. So that's why we are saying when we are here, it is a hip hop festival.
And can you define hip hop?
I don't think we are in a position to define hip hop. It's not our culture. We are guests, or I would say guests can be a divisive word. So I would say we're students of hip-hop culture. We relate to it. We love it. We live it also. But we live it here from Norway, Oslo. So there's different conditions. And we are learning from teachers. And we have spend a lot of time digging for truth. I guess, like, I would call it truth, and you can discuss what that is. But at least we've been on our journey. We've been going back and unraveling. There's another layer. There's another layer. Like, something is missing, and that is how we got in contact with, like, the original generation, the OGs. Like, maybe you've heard about that. And just nurturing that relationship, because we understood there's so many things that we don't get to understand just through TV or, like, today, YouTube or whatever screens. The screen is a filter. So, and bringing them here is one thing, but it's also them out of their element. So going back and see where they're from, like having dinners in their house and just, like, take in the environment. And it's very different. And I think I would encourage everybody who loves the culture or who wants to learn about it to go there and talk directly to the people, not on behalf of, and being a proper guest also, because it's like there's nothing wrong with being a guest. But when you are being invited into somebody's home or culture, it's also being a responsible guest. Even though your host is telling you, please feel free to be a home, right? It's like a hospitality that is so different with, like, giving or providing a shelter and food and just, like, a warm hug. So it's like there is a point where when do you just go to the refrigerator and open it because you are told you can just feel free and be at home? When do you put up your feet on the table? And when is it that you take over their home and kick out the people who live there and lock the door and claim that it's yours? So obviously, you know that I'm talking about appreciation versus appropriation, right? Mm. Which is important when we are doing hip hop as a glimpse in Oslo. Like, there's an ocean between us, and it's a different combination of people and circumstances and time too.
What we offer in Urban Move is really like a sample of what is the hip hop culture, because we use different elements like the dance battle, the jams, the talk. There's also around Urban Move in the city, we try to manage to have also like showcases and concerts with artists that perform on stage. So we really try to gather all the elements of the hip-hop culture. And for a minute, we try to use to have writers, like graffiti artists. We actually did, but it still needs to be amplified. So that's why we say it's just a sample or a glimpse. It's not the full spectrum of it. And like she say, if you really want to experience it, you really need to go over there to really understand, okay, it's really a culture. It's not just a trend. You know, like, you need to understand how people live out there with this. Because you will find out, like, it's not only just dancers with hip-hop. Under the hip-hop culture, it's everybody. Like, I mean, it can be the aunties, the grandma, the uncles, little nephew running on the floor. It's really a family thing out there. And that's when you understand, oh, it's really more than just dance. It's really a culture.
Yes. Lifestyle and versus a weekend far away from the roots. Mm-hmm. So I think that's very important, because it's sometimes you kind of only get the, what is hip hop culture? Well, there's five elements. There's DJing, there's MCing, there's graffiti, like writing. There's the b-boying or b-girling, like the dance. And then there's the knowledge part. So we try to go deeper into this, but of course, within the time frame of 4 days, it's difficult. So obviously, reality meets us. So we're still far away from what we want to be with the festival, but we're working step by step and just do what we can also.
So now we are going to start the lightning round of questions. And these are big questions, huge questions, small questions. If you want to elaborate and explain why you are answering as you are, please do. Or you can just say a word or a sentence, or it's up to you.
Okay.
So, first up, what is the best dance performance you have ever seen?
What comes in mind is actually NDT 2. That was one of my first, like, wow performances, and I was still studying in England because I'm also a dance artist. yeah. And I also have a very good experience, another performance actually shown here at Dansens Hus a couple of, I think it's 10 years ago or something, when Akram Khan came. I can't remember the name of the performance, but it was a very rhythmical, mind-blowing experience with very physical dancers on stage. Mm. Yeah.
If you talk as the moment right now is the, we actually invited them now this year, is Afia. Like, the is a group, is a mix of Swedish people and South African people. Mm-hmm. And they're dancing, they're using a lot of Pansula, which is a dance from South Africa. And they're using it not into Kuwaito music, but into Amapiano music, which is a really good mix. And I don't know, I saw them last November and I came back home and I said to him, I have a group. It's not hip hop, but we need to bring the. So that would be at the moment the best performances that I've seen.
A common thing for me is like when performing arts take me somewhere else, that is not in reality. Like, so in Norwegian we call it forestillinget. So for me it's really like, well, if a piece triggers my imaginative
senses,
yeah, then that attracts me a lot. But when it comes to just appreciating dance performances, like for me a great moment in a battle is something, and it's like a glimpse, just like when that person did this and that person responded like that and that hit the music like this and everybody reacted like that. Wow. And it doesn't even have to be difficult. It's just like a synchronized moment. Yeah. So, and there's like plenty of these things, right? It can happen in a choreographed piece. It can happen improvised in a battle or just out in the street or at the club or in a studio, in a class. Like, it can happen anywhere.
What came to my mind was, and was kind of created a turning point in my dance, was Untitled Black by Sharon Ayal and Guy Bahar. And I actually saw it here at Dansens Hus. But I have a lot of other examples, but we don't have time for those. Next question. Who should play you in the movie about your life?
Halle Berry.
Yes.
I would like to see my story played by an old Caucasian man.
That's different.
Let's challenge it.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That's a good question here. I don't know. I mean, I have favorite actors. I would put them in too, but...
Denzel Washington.
Yeah, yeah, it could be, but... Yeah. Yeah, probably go Will Smith.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah, because he's funny and I like craziness.
Yeah. Yeah. Cate Blanchett.
Ooh. Oh, nice. He already had that one prepared. He was like, that's my turn now.
I remember when we met a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about the urban dance forms and hip-hop. There are also other dance forms that will be presented at the festival. Can you talk a bit about them and also how they relate to each other?
So we do have other dance that's going to be around too. And like we say, it's a culture, like we try to present you the culture itself. So those dance are... been always around this culture. Like I'm talking about, now it's new, we have a dancehall contest in Urban Move. Mm. We bring the also people from South Africa because they have these crazy songs that look alike or similar to house music in, and we relate to them too. Mm. And their music. So all, I think for me, what I want definitely to give to people is this experience of a party and sharing mm. moment, and also other genre and dance and style. If you go to New York again, you will figure out that, okay, I might go to a hip hop party, but there's still dancehall, there's still reggae around, there's still like a lot of music, even rock music sometimes, and funk music, house music, all of those style is present all the time. So it's not just one type of music. It's, again, it's about the culture, so we need to really cover everything. Mm. So the aspect of the other style of music or other style as a dance is really important to bring them around us too. So you really feel like, okay, it's not just one box, it's everything. Yes. You got to know, New York is a mashup. New York is a melting pot of so many different culture and communities, that, and that's the beauty of it, because it creates, out of this, they gave us this culture, the hip-hop culture.
And I think it's important, Key, when you say it's a mashup, because that is what hip-hop is. It's a mashup. And like, even if you look at the music, not just hip-hop music, right? But it's like, if you look at house, it's also a mashup of other different influences. But it's how it's combined together that creates something new. And I think that is like a strength of it. So it's like a big collaboration, really. You kind of say yes to a lot of different things, and it's inclusive, it's inviting, and it's exchanging. That's a core factor of it. And to have different glimpses, again, I use glimpses, of a little bit of house on the Friday program, right? We put house at the forefront there for the big battle night. Which is a party for us. Well, it's called a battle night because it's filled with battles, but it's really a party. Mm. Like, and it's a festival, so of course, like, we're celebrating, so we can't leave out the party. Because if you think of it also, battle, well, it's you can translate it into war, but in a festival, in a party, it's exchange, it's a physical debate. Well, we also want to debate with like a verbal spoken, like just having conversations. It's a dialogue. It's an exchange, right? So if you look at battles as a public debate in a physical form, then there's a strength in dance. And then I'm kind of like fighting just for dance in general, right? And then I would say also, it's about if you're looking at how what we're doing is labeled, because you could say, oh, this is a hip-hop party. But then you have to look at who is labeling it as a hip-hop party, because for us, it's just a party. So it's also about looking at, well, who gets to define? And there's a power in that. So for us, it's also very much about, can we for once define it? And when I say we, like, we're speaking on behalf of our teachers as well, like the people who hold the culture, that we are not deciding this. We are always consulting with our teachers, because we know it's not ours to define.
Can you go in depth of the range of the program and how it is linked together?
So what is very nice for this year is like, we have an extensive workshop program. Mm. So it's like so good to have you a part of this, because we're not just doing workshops at the house, at Dansers Hus, but we're also reaching out. And again, understanding that not everybody has the opportunity to go to Dansers Hus and buy a ticket like that. But we're making it possible. And we need to look at just like costs. what's the price to get in? Because that's actually a factor for a lot of people, even in Norway. And then, and it's not always about the fee. There are all other social factors that plays into it, right? Social, cultural factors in it as well. And just like within the family. And so we are collaborating with two other studios for this year. And we are having a workshop schedule outside, like locally, and placed in East and West.
I'm very glad that we are thinking not center, but also reaching out. We are collaborating with Rommen Scene and Jump Studios. So we have East, Rommen, Stovner Bydel, and West, Østerås. And as you are saying also, you know, hip-hop is an inclusive art form. And I'm thinking, how are we going to recruit the youngsters or the new dancers to come to Urban Moves and come to the festival? And basically it's reaching out to where the youths are. As you also said, you know, you had teachers that let you in the dance studio, that let you, even though you didn't have the funds or a family supporting you. So it's very important to actually meet the young people where they are and go more locally.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I would also say that that's one part of it. And then is when and if they actually show up, because there's a barrier right there, right, that we need to overcome, and we need to do our work to make sure that they know about it and they feel welcome. And then it's very much about the curation of who is teaching. Because you mirror yourself as well. It's like, what can you teach me about my culture? Or like something that is very relatable to me. Mm-hmm. So the curation, like how you pick the people, is very important. And especially at the get-go, like in the beginning like this.
And yeah, the first meeting is very fragile, I can say.
Yes,
yeah,
it is.
Dansens Hus podcast en in-house-produksjon laget av formidlingskonsulent Jonas Øren. Musikken skapt av Basmo Beats, og mitt navn Cissé Kolstad.